listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Be not afraid, sing out for joy, Christ is risen, alleluia. Be not afraid, sing out for joy, Christ is risen, alleluia. Again, be not afraid, sing out for joy, Christ is risen, alleluia. Be not afraid, sing out for joy, Christ is risen, alleluia. Friends, grace to you and peace in the risen Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are reading someone else's mail. Paul is writing this letter to his friends back in Philippi, and we get to look in on it. That's what this book and what all these letters from Paul are really all about. We're stealing someone's mail, and in that other person's mail, we are finding so much richness, so much wisdom. And as Paul said in this letter that Vicky read, he was in prison when he wrote this. Imagine being thrown into prison back in those days. It probably meant the end for you, right? It probably meant that all hope is lost. It's a word that we'll hear a lot this afternoon. Hope is lost. And it probably means that the journey is finished. Well, it's been a good ride. But here with Paul, it's almost easy to miss the fact that he was in prison, because he is writing like he's sitting on a beach in San Diego. This letter is so gushing and so gracious and so joy-filled. That is one of the words that is used always to describe the letter to the Philippians. It is packed with joy and thanksgiving. Philippians has been called Paul's most attractive letter. It's so ripe with this affectionate language for the church, especially for the church in Philippi. And I'll remind you that Paul doesn't always talk like this in his letters. He called the Galatians, after all, a bunch of idiots. He called the Corinthians other things as well. He was so frustrated with them and with these other churches that would just get into these cliques, and they had these bitter rivalries, and Paul would comment on that. There was corruption in the church. But this letter to the Philippians, he is clearly so fond of this congregation, and he misses them from a great distance. A little bit of background on Philippi. I've shared this before. I think it's kind of, it's funny mentioning San Diego. It's kind of like the San Diego of the ancient world. Philippi. If you've ever been there, you can tell me about your experience there later. But here's why it might be kind of like San Diego. It's the place where members of the armed forces of Rome would go to retire. There was a famous medical school there in Philippi. Philippi was this exciting coastal city, and it was right in the center of everything. It was right on the Via Egnatia, and that was a major highway that went from east to west. From Europe, it connected Europe to Asia Minor. So you could say it's kind of like the busiest border crossing in the world at that time. That's similar as well. And it was known for these beautiful landscapes along the northern coast of the Aegean Sea. Idyllic. It was relatively peaceful. I imagine an ancient version of the Hotel del Coronado maybe sitting on the shores there. People enjoying life in Philippi. The good things in life. There was great weather there. Great fishing. It was a little bit on the dry side. I was looking at some pictures, modern day pictures of Philippi. Maybe you do that this afternoon when you go home. Take a look at Philippi. If it wasn't for the ruins that everybody takes a picture of, you would think that was Cowles Mountain in the background. I mean, the landscape just looks so familiar. This was the congregation that Paul loves. This is where they reside. How he misses them, he says in this letter. How he remembers them so fondly, how he sees the work that they are doing still, even though he's gone, how he sees the work that they're still doing as, first of all, being shared. Just like the kids, we shared that letter. Everybody did something. The work that he sees that they are doing is shared, first of all. And secondly, the work that he sees that they're doing is a holy calling. The work that we are called to do as people of God is to be both shared and to be understood as a holy calling. You would think I had pre-selected this text where we are in our life here together. It won't be long now, a couple more weeks, that I'll be gone from this congregation on May 27th, my last Sunday, after 10 years. And yet, like Paul reminds us here, we will always share together in the gospel, in the ministry of the gospel. I really related to Paul here as he talked about knowing that he is held by this wonderful congregation in Philippi. I was just saying to a friend the other day, you know, we're in the process of moving away from this place, knowing that we can do it because we are held in love and in prayer by you all. And not just that, but also in partnership in the gospel, that ministry continues together. It's not just affection for one another, like dear friends. It's not just that, who always want to be together and stay together. It's not just that. It's also this partnership that we share in the gospel. That is, this partnership that we share in serving this hurting world. Wherever we are sharing together in the gospel ministry of sharing the good news, the love and the affection and the welcome that God has for all of us through Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what brought us all together in the first place, isn't it? And that's what we all carry on knowing, and that's what we are all called to do. Christ began something here long ago, just like this letter says. Christ began something here long ago, long before any of us were here. We walked together then. We met each other, walked together for a time in this gospel-centered ministry. And now, even as our physical paths diverge, our spiritual and our vocational, our missional paths always remain the same. Like Paul, who was far away from the Philippians whom he loved, we too, and all Christians for whom we share affection, continue on in our partnership, even as distance separates us. I was thinking maybe I'll get thrown in prison one day. I don't know. I'm going to D.C. They're pretty active there. You know, it could happen. Maybe I'll write you a letter if I'm ever in prison someday. You'd think that would be the end for me, right? That would be it. Yet Paul, who was in prison, whose entire ministry was a protest and a resistance to the Roman Empire's cruel and merciless, self-centered and anti-Jesus rule, Paul in prison was a joyful man. He was filled with thanksgiving in prison. He was filled with deep joy and fondness for all those with whom he shared the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And most fully, it appears, those back in Philippi. He wasn't alone. I want you to ponder this image this week of sitting in prison in joy. Who does that? That's got to be the worst place ever, right? But here he is sitting in prison in a state of not just joy, joy and thanksgiving, and not just joy and thanksgiving, but also a sense of continued ministry, even while he's locked behind bars. The ministry continues with the apostles. We keep reading these stories. They do ministry behind bars, behind locked doors. It's incredible. Ponder that image this week of sitting in prison, doing ministry, typing letters, sharing the faith with those who are around you, consoling one another. I mean, I don't see any of us are in prison right now physically or literally, but in many ways, we all are in some kind of a prison. So ponder that this week, sitting in prison and yet in a state of joy and thanksgiving and continued ministry. Prison did not stop Paul from preaching God's love. This is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is so good that prison bars and an iron spear cannot hold it back. It is so good that hunger and famine and drought cannot hold it back. This is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is so good that pain and separation and grief and goodbyes and distance cannot hold it back. It is so good that weather and sickness and human imperfections and big egos and stubbornness cannot hold it back. This is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is so good that not even death itself can hold it back. Amen. It kind of makes jail look like child's play when you put it like that. Sisters and brothers in Christ, this is a holy calling from God that we all have. You are here. We are here together now, not just because we like each other. In fact, some of us can't stand each other. Maybe. It happens, right? In the life of the church, we are in this place not because we like each other, but because God needs us to share the gospel with those outside this place. That's why we are here. It's always interesting. I love it. You know, people start coming to church often, not always, but often because... Oh, sorry. Getting too excited here. People start coming to church often because it feels nice. It feels good to them. They like it. They get a lot out of it. Sometimes there's some kind of takeaway for them. It feeds them. They like the pastor for themselves, and the friends that they make at the church are good for them. Maybe you're relating to that. Maybe that's what brought you into this place. But do you see what's in the center there? But as time passes, and you see this over and over in life together in the church, as time passes, church ends up being a place of pain also. A place of sorrow and controversy. As time passes, people get sick. They even die. As time passes, others move away, and some can get angry at each other and get all wrapped up in conflict and bad-mouthing each other. As time passes, they discover that the church that made them feel so good and gave them so much a while ago is also full of human beings. And yet, they stay anyway. They stay together. I love seeing that, and I am encouraged at how we are blessed when Christ's church carries on in spite of ourselves. The gospel ekes out from behind bars and locked doors and big stuffy egos and petty squabbles. That's because the Holy Spirit cannot be stopped. The church carries on. Because ultimately, it's not about us after all. We might come in thinking it's about us, like any other market, it seems, in the world. We might come in thinking, what will this give me? What can I take away from this place? But then God grabs us and works on us and molds us through the Holy Spirit and through prophets like Paul to snap us out of our self-centeredness and our self-righteousness. Jesus had to say it 3 times. To his disciple Peter. What did he say on the beach to Peter after the resurrection? He said, Peter, just make sure you take care of yourself no matter what. No, that's not what he said. He said, make sure to feed my sheep. He asked Peter that question. Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, of course I do. Well, then feed my sheep. Go beyond this place and go feed those people who are still hungry. And then he asked him again, do you love me? Of course I do. Feed my lambs. Go out there into the world. Then he says again, Peter, do you love me? He says, of course I do. Peter's starting to get offended, and he says it again. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. It's all about going outward. It is not about you. It is about sharing in the ministry of the gospel. It is about partnering. And God says, I need you in this. I need you. Everyone puts a letter onto the letter. None of us can do it alone. That's why John Wesley said a long time ago, Christianity is essentially a social religion, and that to turn it into a solitary religion is indeed to destroy it. Sisters and brothers in Christ, partnership in the gospel is how this all works. It's how it's worked long before any of us. It's how it will work long after us. Partnership in the gospel is how this works. And no distance, not even prison, can sever those bonds, because they are ultimately bonds in Christ, who fills us with joy and thanksgiving even now and forevermore. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Shepherd of the Valley, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon, and to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!